And just talk a little bit about what is the difference between teachings and thoughts. And to imagine butterflies, there are so many, 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 many kinds of butterflies, different patterns and colors, exquisite, different shapes, different sizes. But most of them only live a week or two in their butterfly stage, in their adult stage. In fact, many moths don't even have mouths in their adult stage because they only do their eating as a caterpillar to prepare for the chrysalis, for the transformation. And they, monarchs, they migrate to south, like South America, and you think, how does a butterfly fly all the way to South America, especially if it only lives for a week or two? Well, it regenerates itself, stops and lays eggs, and becomes a caterpillar, and eats, and becomes a chrysalis, and then becomes a butterfly, and then flies for a little while, and then stops, and becomes a caterpillar, and then a chrysalis, and et cetera, et cetera. It could take 3, 4, 5 generations for it to get where it's going, and back again. So just considering that kind of bigger picture, and the butterfly often is symbolic for enlightenment. So it also suggests that it comes and goes, yet is always you. You know, the butterfly is always a butterfly, is always a caterpillar as well. In one of the lessons, I mentioned a young indigo child called, I think you pronounce it, Akiane Kramerick, and she was born to atheist parents and is a brilliant artist, writer. I mean, 8 years old, she was painting masterpieces. And she said that when she was born, she saw that she was a gift of God and that she would always be cared for by God. Like a little butterfly, she said, I knew I was a gift of God and that he would come for me like a little butterfly. And the day I was born, I met myself. I met my young mother. The day I was born, I saw Christ sleeping in my cradle. You know, I like to say Christ was not the brightest spark. But he did think for himself. And there's the idea of, you know, kind of having that jump start. And that sometimes is necessary to really spark up your enlightenment. And we're talking about enlightenment again in this closing because that was our intention, was to come into enlightened adulthood. So there's kind of two stages of this, same as there's two stages like the caterpillar and, well, three stages, the chrysalis and the butterfly. So that's pretty much like the adulthood would be like the caterpillar, chrysalis stage, and the enlightenment, the butterfly. And you're continually going through this and regenerating and regenerating. And the way to really jumpstart your enlightenment and consciousness is to be surprised. The element of surprise is the most powerful element to bring on consciousness. So as we're living our lives secure and, you know, worry is a form of security. Fretting is a form of security. Doesn't really allow for a lot of surprise to come through. But then sometimes a really nice big stash of surprise will come on. And there's a story from Osho I just read the other day under the Thunderbolt card about the disciple who came up to his master in a meditation retreat and asked what he should meditate on. Well, the master threw him out the second story window immediately, then jumped after him, landed right on him, and then sat on his chest and held his shoulders down and looked at him and said, "Get it? Do you get it now?" And the disciples said, "Yes," because if he said no, the master would probably do something else to him. But he really did get it because it came out of the blue. It was such a surprise. So just allowing yourself to be surprised, you've done a lot of work in this course and in your lives. You know, your lives are your life's work. And to just acknowledge that, and that, you know, not only have you possibly can see yourself as having changed, it's not the changed, it's being with change continually. The ability as an adult to be response-able, to get yourself, you know, through the caterpillar stage, through the chrysalis stage, into the enlightenment, and then have enough wits to lay your eggs so you can do it all over again. And that's already programmed in you anyway. You know, as I love to quote Michael Franti, "Yeah, we've been doing it all the time." You're just aware of it now. And awareness. Well, we've spoken quite a bit about awareness and presence and how it brings everything to light. Not always so jolly, but it's there. So I'm going to invite each of you, as you would like, to speak and of where you're at or just whatever you like, whatever you feel like. Bringing into a sense of closure, you know, about your journey. You remembering the four principles of counsel. Speak from the heart, listen from the heart, be spontaneous and be lean. So consider we're in a circle, we're speaking into the circle. Speaking to spirit, to your soul. That's Christ. That's you. So if there's nothing coming up, that's okay. So whenever you're ready, you can just, you know, pop in. And I'll just talk a little bit more about finishing a vision quest. When we come back from the vision quest, we, just as you go out, you went over a threshold. And when you pass the threshold, first we smudge you, and then you go past this physical threshold into the spirit world. And you spend your 4 nights and 5 days, and then you come back, and it's morning-ish when you're coming back. And the same thing, you walk up to the threshold, and you acknowledge that you're coming back. And again, you're smudged, and then you come back, and there's a feast waiting. And then we relax, and the next day we have counsel, etc. So it's actually, you know, finishing, like you basically came over the threshold on Wednesday. That's when your last lessons were, sort of officially, that's when the course ended. And now we're sitting in counsel. And it is a time in counsel to, we each would get 20 minutes to recount our 5 nights and 4 days. To the others, to the circle, again, to spirit. And it's a beautiful act of coming back, of returning and bringing back what you learned to the people. So you might consider that, you know, if you're giving something back to the people from this course, what would that look like from your experience? I'm speaking in this course. What are you coming back with? An experience, so maybe I'll just send like a talking stick around our virtual space. And I'll start here with the first person on the screen. Don?
Who is the first person?
Oh, you can't see? Okay, Don. No. Sorry. I thought you could see this.
So what came to me when you were talking, there was something in the last step, in the Z step, that mentioned the mirror. And I can't remember the exact details, but what came up for me was the lesson on, like, as an adult, you can see both ways. And that phrase, that saying, really stuck with me throughout the whole course. And wondering, what does that mean? So just, yeah, letting it sit. And so when this piece of the mirrors came up, it made me think of, there was a teaching I had this weekend on, someone was teaching on how we, in fact, like, lose ourselves when we assume all the reflections out there are us, because then we're responding to everything out there as though it's us. Indeed. And rather than coming from the light of our own soul and staying centered in that. Mm-hmm. And that was like, yeah, like it made sense. And also, because there's the other one that I hear more of, well, everything out there is a reflection of you. That's what I seem to hear more, but it's always kind of stumped me because of this other piece that I felt was spoken to me this weekend of, well, we're reacting to everything out there as though it's us, and it's not. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, that was like the looking both ways. Like, they seem completely opposite, yep, but they each totally have their own wisdom. And so that, yeah, just
beautiful.
Really, and stayed with me.
Beautiful. And they work well together. So one doesn't negate the other. Mm-hmm. They start to, you know, have a, the word intercourse, like they interact, like they're like, okay, so how do these two things actually function together? You know, where, how do they work with, which is also a very, you know, we speak about that a lot too, right? Working with, the art of integration. That's just beautiful, Dawn. Thank you for sharing that. That's, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, there's this D.H. Lawrence poem I often read about love, go deeper than love, he says. And also, mm-hmm. in the poem is a line, shatter the mirrors. You know, like, drop the mirrors. And I think he's speaking to that first thing you're talking about. And
yes.
And, yeah. And we are all connected. You know, this is the indigenous truth. Everything is everything. So, yeah. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Beautiful. Mm-hmm. Oh, and I just want to say one more thing about that. You said it was a teaching. Yeah. So I started out saying, what's the difference between a teaching and a thought? And even there, see both ways, you know, what's a thought? What's a teaching? It's like two sides of the coin, and they're related, yet distinct. Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Like the butterfly and the caterpillar. You'd go, what? Those two things go together? Are you kidding? Yeah. Great. All right. Celia, you're next here. You can't see this, hey? You can't see each other? You can see each other, yeah?
Yeah, but I just don't know if the order that I see is the same you guys see.
Good question. Good.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time having something focused to say. My last few weeks have increasingly been very busy, and I feel scattered and not liking it. It's kind of how my life is usually, and I really want to change that. And so yeah, I keep bringing my awareness of it and trying to remove the harsh judgment I have of it usually. Just try to really sort of breathe in with it and try to diminish my stress. But I have something that's really strongly coming for me, you know, when it comes to what was my intention with starting this journey. And I really want to become accountable with my actions and my intention. And so right now I'm just really trying to think deeper on how I can do things differently so that I'm happy with my level of accountability.
Do you remember in it was around step 10 or 11 about putting down your three favorite things? And then so your one favorite thing would be to be accountable. So it's like, you know, if I was to say, who am I at my best? You know, I am accountable, loving, responsible. Okay, just but you've said accounting, accountable. So, you know, then you have that, and then you ask yourself in any situation where any bit of doubt comes up that are you being accountable in this moment? Never mind the past, never mind the future, there's only now. If you have any inkling that you are not being accountable, you just stop and you ask yourself, am I being accountable? And if, you know, gauge yourself from 1 to 10, literally. And could I do better? Could I do better? That's all. And the answer could be no, not in this moment, but I am accessing my awareness actively, actively, and practically using that technique. And it's so simple. It'll take you a second.
One thing I feel I have that I'm happier with is I used to always be focused on the end result, and I feel that I'm more just present with the process now, and it's not so much about making it to the end line. It's really about just going deeper in what this process is supposed to be with me, and you know, just really seeing that. I like the word cooperation. I'm really trying to fit in and see that I'm valuable in my life and
Beautiful.
that there's an impact no matter what I do. So I'm just, you know, really trying to take it slower and remove the judgment and the sense that I'm disappointed in myself, and just seeing that it's only with love and more love that I'm going to achieve a better accountability.
What are you being right now?
When I am like right now in the moment,
Like everything
I'm
you're
kind
doing.
of being judgmental.
I think you're being accountable. That's You're being highly accountable. Everything you just said. You were engaging yourself beautifully. Yeah. That is accountability. Accountability is not whacking yourself on the head.
Yeah.
No, it's exactly what you just said. And you, listen back to it, you know, in the recording.
Yeah, I will.
Just beautifully spoken accountability.
Oh, thank you.
Totally nailed it.
I just realized why I'm feeling like this right now also. In the past 4 days, I've canceled quite a few commitments. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy that I made those decisions, but there's that lingering feeling that I've abandoned, you know, that I've let down some people. And so I guess this is why I'm feeling the way I'm feeling right now. Mm-hmm. But in a way, it's brave of me. I always have a hard time to withdraw from something that I'm committing to.
Yeah. So. And what are you committing to now? So by putting those things aside, you're giving more energy to?
To be more accountable. Just to be Perfect. More realistic Perfect. And in the present. And yeah. also, because I see myself getting panicked and I'm like, oh, mm-hmm. no, that doesn't feel good. And that's what I want to change. So
beautiful. You are change. It is change. You're in it.
Yes.
Fantastic. And there again, there's that seeing both ways. I can break that commitment in order to be committed.
Yeah.
There's no
instead absolute. Of thinking, oh, I'm so unreliable.
You show up here every week.
Yes. Yes. I sure have.
You sure have. Bells on. So that's wonderful. And it's also about reorganizing your priorities. And as you said, panic is no longer a priority. And the emergency is just steady and deep and just carrying on.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, beautiful. Very nice. Yummy. Good. Matt, would you like to bring something into the fire? Mm. Feed the fire?
The image that it was kept coming to my head when you were talking about the quest coming back from the forest. It was kind of like me with a big giant red Santa bag sort of thing and walking back out of the forest and like dump them in front of all the people and we all just kind of stare and scratch our heads and look at the stuff on the ground and ta-da, it's here. I don't know what it does. They're all here. And this reminds me of what you said a couple of times. Don't be so sure what you didn't get, Matthew. So I'm just, it's all right there. I see it. I don't necessarily know what it all does. Mm-hmm. But it's there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I love so much to know things. I need to know things. It's kind of nice to sit in the, like, I don't really know.
Mm.
I don't really know.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there again, the see both ways of not knowing. You know, Christ did not know he could not walk on water, but he did it just the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so this way of expanding your mind into the both ways is also to be able to conceive of paradox. And as we said, many scientists are now agreeing that the world is essentially paradoxical. It is this and it is that. And when you can wrap your head around a paradox, but of course more so let the paradox wrap itself around you. there's just so much richness in it. You know, I've brought back all these pieces, but I have no idea what they are. I mean, that's not exactly a paradox, but it's got that duality, you know? And that's kind of what paradox thrives in, and just the seeing both ways. Beautiful, seeing both ways. And I get the sense that you've retrieved many parts of yourself. And of course, they aren't very familiar. And, you know, and even the word presence, like Santa Claus has presents in his bag. So bringing your presence back with you from the spirit world. And that is very common because there are people who spend a lot of time in the spirit world, actually. And have a very hard go of it in what we might describe as reality. But the two are merging so much right now, the intercoursing. And our awareness is seeping out of the kind of material realm into the spirit realm, and it's just starting to explore in there as well. You know, and at the same time, bringing those pieces of ourselves back into the manifest, call it. So for some people, it's a little bit, you know, bit more one way or the other, in a sense, right? Going, getting your pieces back from the spirit world. And some people are just starting to explore the spirit world. So it's all just right place. And, but it is about the merging. Right, the invisible and the visible, and therein is the artist who bridges the invisible and the visible. So you're bringing the invisible into the visible and having a good look at it now. I'm like, oh wow, what the heck is this stuff? Beautiful, beautiful, yeah. Very, you know, here we are at Ostara and. Time of new beginnings. So beautiful time to be coming back from your vision quests or rites of passage. Rites of passage, of course, continue. There are said to be seven, and basically you've been given the first, the rite of keeping the soul. And the remaining rites will come in due course. And we don't really even know what they are. So I don't know is a really good place to be. You ready for surprise? So there you go, beautiful. Is there anything else? You're good? Lovely. All right. And we'll just keep going around the circle. Are you there, Shannon?
Okay, I think that's me then.
Yeah.
I am. Can you hear me?
Yes, beautifully.
You can hear me? Okay. Okay, good. Yeah, I'm here with my little baby who has started to crawl in the last couple of days. So, my world's really busy and seeing all the tiny things that are on the floor now. But I have been noticing some that this experience has, you know, changed and is continuously changing me. And I've caught myself just to in awareness through conversations with my partner and having the same conversation. But then I now have different replies to things that, and so it's changing our conversations, which is great. So that's for sure one benchmark you know, just a thing that I've noticed. I'm having for about a week now some a week and a half, some interesting like physical symptoms, and I had where I'm kind of like leaving. I feel as though the best way to describe it is that I'm leaving my body, and I'm continually, you know, grounding myself and telling myself to come back into my body. And some of it, I'm pretty sure, is just exhaustion from around the clock of baby duty, baby work, baby stuff, and just all of the busyness of the days that I have here. So I think, you know, I do know that I need more self-care in order to take care of myself, and so that I can be available in a healthy way to my family and other people and the things that I want to do. But it's the physical stuff that's coming up with like headaches and nausea, sensitivity to light, and just aches and pains, like feeling very kind of old and moaning and groaning within my own skin.
Well, you know, consider being in a chrysalis and the tightness of it and the energy that's running through your body into all these parts that you don't even know you have. You know, the energy running out to the tips of your wings that are still completely compacted on your back and into your long legs and your antennae. And all this is happening inside the chrysalis, which is very tight and contracting. And that sounds like where you are. And in that also to practice, again, you know, beautiful, we started with this looking both ways. We're closing with it because it has been the focus. If I'm leaving my body and I'm aware that I'm leaving my body, am I really leaving my body? And being able to witness yourself, would you say checking out? Is that kind of because of the tiredness? Or is it like, can you function?
When you're... I can function. I can function, but what happens is I get very lightheaded and get off balance. And the nausea comes on, and then it's kind of like this crushing pain in my head. And that, when it gets to the, and so I can function up into the crushing pain, and then I have to lie down in a dark room and check out.
Yeah, migraine?
And go to sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, it might be, I guess, diagnosed as a possible migraine.
There's a fairly common...
But that's not...
So your body is screaming, I need to lie down. And, you know, in a way, maybe that's, it has to go that far to get you to go lie down. Admittedly, when you have two little ones, you can't just go do that. That's one aspect. And another is, it's very common when you undergo this work of consciousness to have migraines and your equilibrium is off which brings lightheadedness and nausea. And it's like your head's being ripped off. And it's like what the praying mantis does. Yeah, it just rips the head off its prey. And it's for a new one to grow back in its place, kind of like a starfish's leg. When your head sometimes needs to be removed so that a new one can grow back in its place. And I actually had this just a couple months ago. And I have had them several times through my life, this sort of what you're feeling, what you're going through. And it was very excruciating, but I could feel what was happening. I could feel it was necessary to have this removed and a new one grow back in its place. So just consider that. You are transforming. And, you know, what is it like to be in a chrysalis? In a tight, 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 tight little space. This is real. You know, change and transformation isn't necessarily the snap of a finger. So just be with it and just keep working with it. You're undergoing a lot of change, you know, moving and little, new, you know, the little one changing all the time under your nose. Crawling on the floor is a whole new era. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it sounds like you're doing wonderfully. I know it doesn't necessarily feel like that to you, but you are going through transformation. Things are rearranging inside of you, which is why you feel lightheaded and out of equilibrium. The equilibrium you were in is changing. So that's good to hear. And I'd like you to stay in touch with me. And if you need any clearing, you know, we could do a little bit more one-on-one work would be good, I think. See how it goes. See how it goes for you. But just to make sure you are, or, you know, just know you're supported. And the readings, too, for everybody, just keep going back to them. And an Inkling's Weave as well will now come through to you more readily. And all the layers that are behind it. Behind the words, the facades. And again, particularly those the stories, the creation stories. You know, that's a different layer of, if we started talking, there's thoughts, teachings, and then there's creation stories, and they're actually another layer. And they embody the teachings. In other words, they are a vessel for the teachings, those creation stories. You know, read them to your kids and, you know, just keep working with them. They're incredible tools, and all the teachings in the course is so much material there, so much. And different things will pop out different times. Just flip to a page. Same with an Inkling's Weave. Just flip to a page and see what's there. And life will continue to give you the experiences to keep the regeneration going. You know, that's what this is. It's really regenerating. Like, so the butterfly, he lays eggs and, you know, turns into the caterpillar and then the chrysalis and then the butterfly and et cetera, et cetera. It's an ongoing regeneration. That is the law of nature, which we are a part of. The earth will always regenerate itself, whether we're here or not. And that's what it's teaching us. It's teaching us about regeneration. Without what's called fruition, without the desire to have the fruits of it. You know, the earth doesn't cleanse itself and regenerate in order to have the fruits of it. It just does it because that's the law. That is the law that governs life itself. You know, speaking of thinking both ways or seeing both ways, just today was going, wow, life has a very interesting relationship with nature. You know, nature really keeps destroying itself and regenerating. And life is supposed to, you know, be about living, but everything in nature dies. And so there again, seeing both ways, how it all just comes together. And the dying is as important as the, you know, the laying of eggs. The butterfly dies to itself as a butterfly. The caterpillar dies to itself as a caterpillar. And that's really what being resourceful is. You know, dying to our perceived selves over and over and over again. It's probably why the Bioneers say time is our most valuable resource, because, you know, the earth has all the time in the world. It knows nothing of the end of time. And time does allow us to keep regenerating, regenerating and regenerating. And is there any end to that? Think of how many times that cycle goes on. And to just keep allowing that to happen, letting go of who you think you are, mirrors, the labels. Letting them fall away, and you might pick up the same ones the next time around. You know, it might be the butterfly who looks the same. But that doesn't matter, because it's all going to drop away anyways. Yeah? It doesn't really matter if you pick up all the same labels and habits, because then it's just going to drop away and cleanse itself and regenerate. And sometimes it can feel like pain in your body and lightheadedness and nausea. And sometimes you won't even notice. But it is happening. It is happening all the time. Change is. You know, it's not behind you and it's not ahead of you. It is you. Be the change you wish to see. That's all it means, is accepting that it is you. There's nothing to achieve. No, like as you were saying, it's not a goal. Be the change you wish to see. It's an understanding. So seeing that, we worked with that phrase quite a bit in the course. And it's, again, letting the words wrap themselves around you, permeate your pores like a sponge, just get into every pore, every cell, and then just out again, and it's in you. No longer words on a page, something to grasp for, reach for, no, it is you. You don't even have to remember it anymore, because it is you. was reading a little bit from the Dalai Lama this morning, and he was talking about obstacles. How obstacles, when we treat them in the right manner, appropriately, make you stronger, build your courage, and build wisdom. So as we said, enlightenment is a very destructive process. It is not about getting better or happier. It's just cleansing. That's why we say we go through the butterfly process, and then, you know, the eggs and the caterpillar and the chrysalis, and that enlightenment is very often that destructive, okay, we're going to blast all this stuff out and start again. That's what it is. And thank goodness, that's how the forest regenerates itself. You know, there's a firefighter once said to me, we're getting so good at fighting fires, the forest is suffering for it. It needs the fires to regenerate. Mm-hmm. So we've got a few minutes left. If anybody has anything else they'd like to bring to the fire, torch, or just explore a little bit before we formally bring closure. And again, we're bringing closure to the course, but you know I'm here, and you're welcome to send emails, or if you want to book a session, however you want to work with it is fine. We're all good.